WRKC is proud to present a new weekly radio drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our fifth episode, The White Picket Fence.
Harry!
What? Huh?
Harry!
I'm up. What is it? Wednesday morning. I knew where I had spent Tuesday night, but the hours spent getting to my office were nothing but a blur. I'd spent the night celebrating a friend's victory in a boxing match. Last week, I uncovered his huge defeat to a no-name underdog was actually fixed, and his jubilation in regaining his career could be read in his opponent's face. Anyway, one too many toasts to the victor got me here, sleeping on the job.
There's a man here to see you, a Mr. Gary Fuller.
Send him in. I tidied myself up as best as I could. A PI always wants to make a good impression. But I don't think any amount of drinking could have me looking worse than the man who walked into my office. He was an average height, lanky man with a 5 o'clock shadow that said everything about his night. I could tell he hadn't gotten any sleep. After a very sleepy introduction, we got to business.
I've already been to the police, but I need everybody I can get. Mr. Flynn, my wife Pauline never came home from work yesterday afternoon. I'm afraid she's been abducted.
Gary, no one can blame you for worrying about your wife, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Maybe she stayed with a friend last night.
I doubt it. She's close with the girls, but she's always come home after work.
And where's that?
Jiffy Doo's. She's a hairdresser.
All right, well, if I'm going to find her, I'm going to need to know what she looks like.
She's about 5'5", thin, black hair in a bob, brown eyes. She's got a really nice...
That'll be enough, Gary. You said you talked to the police?
Yes. I filed a missing persons report already.
That's a relief. That means Spinelli probably has a lot more information about her. I'd better get in touch with him as soon as possible. As I've learned in the past, with missing people, time is everything. Deborah, please see Mr. Fuller out. Gary, I'll be working nonstop to find Pauline. In the meantime, don't lose hope. It's still very early.
Thank you very much, Harry.
Deborah?
Did I wake you up?
No, of course not.
Because it sounded like I woke you up.
Call Spinelli and get whatever information he has on Pauline Fuller.
Why can't you do it?
I'll be at Jiffy Doo's.
Can't you do it?
No, that's what I pay you for.
Fine. I need a new job.
What?
Nothing.
I drove over to Jiffy Doo's, a quiet hairdresser's place on the east side. As you would expect, the place was crawling with women. Ha ha, the perks of the job. But I had to keep my head in the game. Pauline's life may be at stake. I walked over to one of the hairdressers, an attractive blonde named Jennifer, to try and get some information. As always, I diplomatically handled the situation. Is Pauline around?
Who are you?
I have an appointment with her today.
Name?
I was drawing a blank. I didn't want to let on I was a private investigator. But coming up with these aliases on a whim is really difficult sometimes. Listen, that's not important. Is she here?
If you must know, no, she's not. Didn't show up for work yesterday either.
Just then, another hairdresser named Madeline yelled from across the salon to interrupt what I thought was a private conversation. Ordinarily, I would have been upset. But after I saw this curvy blonde woman where the outburst came from, it didn't matter what she was saying.
Yeah, I had to take almost all of her customers yesterday.
Almost all?
Yeah, one or two didn't make their appointments. Thank God. I thought my hands were going to fall off.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry. You're sorry. Everybody's sorry. The work I put in at this place. She'd better be really sick. Or dead.
I knew Madeline didn't mean what she was saying, but nevertheless, I was glad Gary wasn't around to hear that. However, the situation just got much more serious. Pauline was, in effect, missing for a full day now. I didn't have any time to waste, and I knew I wasn't going to get anything more from the hairdressers. I headed back out to the car, surprised to find Officer Spinelli waiting for me there. I'm assuming Deborah called you?
She did.
Spinelli had this look on his face that I couldn't quite place. He looked like he was trying to hide. What happened to my car?
Never had very good depth perception.
Damn it, Spinelli!
Sorry.
I'm gonna need the money from this case to get my door fixed. You better have some good info for me.
I do. I think we may have found your missing woman.
You're kidding. Where is she?
I'll explain when we get to the station.
Did you contact the husband?
No, not yet.
Well, why not? The man is worried sick.
She's under arrest.
I was shocked at first, but then it started to make some sense. What better reason do you have not to return home to your spouse one night than being in jail? It's obviously not what Gary wants to hear, but it could be much worse. We drove over to the station and made our way back to Pauline's cell, accompanied by another cop. Although I wasn't so sure if this woman was actually the one I was looking for. She matched the height, body type, and really did have a nice... Well, never mind. But what threw me was the hair color. Not even close to Pauline's straight black. You do realize that Pauline's hair isn't nearly this... loud.
Yes, I know, but we think she may have dyed her hair to this vibrant red to make it easier for her to get away with it.
We have been investigating a series of break-ins in which jewelry boxes were stolen. Our witnesses put this woman at the scene of the crime. Her hair gave her away.
It figured that Officer Brody would find a way to be guarding this specific cell. The sorry excuse for a man didn't have an inch of decency in him. If there's an upset woman within 100 feet of him, he'll find a way to make things worse. Did you recover the jewelry?
No, she must be stashing it someplace.
We finally got close enough to Pauline that she knew we were talking about her. I've never seen a more downtrodden, desperate woman. Petrified doesn't even begin to do her justice. She rushed up to the bars and began begging.
Please, please, you've got to believe me. I'm innocent. I'm innocent.
What's your name, sweetheart?
Julia West.
She's been trying to sell that for a while now. The evidence is overwhelmingly against her, though. She'll admit it eventually.
That's right. You did it. You're Pauline Fuller, and you broke into every one of those houses and made off with their jewelry.
No, no, I swear. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I didn't speak to any of the witnesses or have all the information the police had, but I did have a gut feeling that this woman wasn't Pauline, nor was she a petty criminal. But unfortunately, that's really none of my concern. I was now out of leads with the clock ticking. I had to get to the Fuller's residence. Maybe I can find something there.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The White Picket Fence, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Oh, honey, I didn't see you come in. Why are you sitting in here with all the lights off?
I'm tired, Madge. I'm damn tired. I've been working this beat for 30 years.
Honey, you're a postman.
Delivering papers to scum of the earth, I can't do a damn thing for them, and that's what gets to me.
Are you feeling all right?
No, Madge. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's cold, dark world out there, and every night I'm pushing back the taint and corruption that plague the city. If only there were a better way.
Well, friend, now there is. Are you feeling the sting of years adding a dark burden to your every action? Do the streets of your city seem dark and empty except for the shadowy shapes that wander them? Do you frequently find yourself complaining that you're too damn old for this job? Well, have I got a product for you.
A product that will take away the desolation and bring me back to the hope I used to have for this world.
Will it bring my old husband back?
It will. Just come on down to Jimmy the Foot, Converse's Footwear Emporium. We'll set you up with a pair of custom-made shoes that'll fit your feet and your budget.
Wait, you're selling shoes?
But don't take my word for it. Just ask some of Jimmy's best customers.
I absolutely love Jimmy's footwear. The amount of care and dedication that he puts into making sure that a shoe fits just right lets me get beyond my feelings of doubt and consternation at a world that will just never truly understand me. I love you, Jimmy.
They're really comfortable shoes and stuff. I mean, they didn't change my life or anything, but it's been 3 months and no blisters. That's something.
But how will I know that Jimmy can make the perfect shoes for me?
Because I guarantee every piece of footwear I sell. And frankly, I'm not satisfied until you're not satisfied. I know people come into my shop looking for more than a pair of fine quality footwear. You're looking for a new lease on life. And you'll love wearing my shoes. Well, you'll love wearing your shoes. You try to put on my shoes and I'll knock you out.
These really are very comfortable shoes. Thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you're welcome to dinner at our place anytime.
To take a step in the right direction, just call us at 1-800-TOE-CARE. Come on down and get some new shoes, or I'll punch your teeth in.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Wait! Don't leave me!
You work in my business long enough and you've heard that line 1,000 times. Sometimes you follow them and end up regretting it for a week or two. But there's always that one or two that you ignore and it haunts you forever. I didn't have time to waste, but I couldn't just leave an innocent woman behind bars. I turned around.
Oh, thank God. I didn't do anything wrong. I swear, I didn't. The only robbery I know anything about was at my house, and I know little enough about that. I'm a victim, not a criminal.
You were robbed? Why don't you tell me about it?
Watch it, Flynn. I'd hate to have to lock you up next to her for interrupting an ongoing investigation.
And I'd hate to get locked up for assaulting a police officer. Give me a minute and we'll both get our wish. Brody glared venom at me and huffed off. I felt a moment of regret over putting Spinelli in such an awkward situation, but that quickly passed.
Thank you. He's been horrible. Leering at me through the bars like some kind of animal.
It's all right, but you have to tell me about this robbery. It's very important.
It happened last Saturday. I had a rough night. I woke up cuddling with a bottle of Cabernet. The lock on my door was broken and things were tossed around everywhere.
Was anything taken?
My jewelry box. And my hair. I had it down to my waist before and some brute cut it off. I can't do anything with it but keep it in this awful bob.
You don't say. I think we're about done with you here. Just going to finish some things up with Officer Spinelli, and then we'll let you get on your way.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Harry, could I talk to you for a minute?
I stepped outside of earshot to talk with Spinelli. She's innocent.
Look, how do you know? And you can't just barge in here.
Please, I don't have time for this. All you've got is a couple of witnesses who say a red-haired woman was seen near the scene of the crime. And with hair like that, what else would you notice? I mean, besides
I
her...
get it. But I'm telling you, she dyed her hair to make a distinguishing characteristic.
Pauline has black hair. There's no way she could have gotten her hair that red.
How do you know that?
Well, I assume. I mean, it seems like it'd be harder. It's really very red.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, you've got her address. Keep an officer outside to be sure she doesn't run. Just let her out. I made sure that Julia was checked out and made my way over to the Fuller residence, cursing Spinelli every inch of the way for what he did to my door. I pulled up outside of a run-down house not fit enough to be of ill repute. I let myself inside and started investigating. As I walked about their house, I came upon one of Gary's paycheck stubs. He was a low-end worker, and his paycheck showed it. It's not my place to snoop, so I put the stub back down and got back to work. After a couple of minutes of nothing, I heard the door open and a familiar voice.
Honey, is that you?
Afraid not.
Oh, detective, I didn't know you were coming by today.
I'm sorry for barging in, but I didn't think you'd mind if it got us closer to finding Pauline.
Not at all. Let me get you a drink.
Got out a bottle of scotch that was running mighty low and poured a couple of drinks. I made a mental note to have Deborah drop a full bottle off later. Thank you, Gary. I could use it. And I'm sure you could, too.
Is there anything I can do to help? Do you need anything?
Not that I can think of, but maybe you could tell me a little bit about the two of you. What do you do?
I work down at the steel mill, on the line. It's a job, you know?
Right. And you've been working there long?
12 years. And I'm still getting the same lousy pay I got the first day I worked. And Pauline doesn't make much either with her hairdressing. The last couple of months, we barely scraped by. This isn't what I wanted for her, Harry. I wanted her to be happy.
Do you think she might have left?
No, not my Pauline. She wouldn't. We were going to make a life together. A real life. We were going to get a house, with 2 stories, a front lawn for kids, a white picket fence. You know, the American dream.
Said all of this like a man inspired. These little simple things were all he wanted to give his wife. In the face of it, I couldn't help hoping that someday they'd manage it. We talked a couple of hours and I headed back to my office. I had myself a handful of scotches and eventually I drifted off.
Harry!
I'm not here.
Do you ever sleep at home?
I try not to make a habit of it.
How's the case coming? Found anything worthwhile?
Only a whole lot of nothing. The Fullers seem like honest folks. They don't have much money. Unless there's something I'm not seeing, there's no real reason for them to have enemies. They're about as down in the dumps as they can be. The way I see it, she had to have just left.
Then what's your plan?
I'm gonna call Spinelli, see if anything has come up. If not, there's nothing more I can do.
It makes sense, you know. Hard-working girl not getting enough money, having to deal with some lazy boss all day ordering her around. You'll see, one of these days I'll run off.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, mind giving me a moment?
One of these days I'll go off for a higher-paying job. You'll see.
I told myself that if she ever did go through with her threats, I'd find myself a less obnoxious secretary. Maybe a mute one. For the moment, though, I had a call to make.
You're talking to... Whoop! Sorry, depth perception.
It's fine. Hey, I know it's a stretch, but do you have anything else on Julia?
Seems like you were right. We searched her house top to bottom for the missing jewelry and turned up with nothing. We found a couple clumps of red hair about the right length to corroborate her story. As far as we can tell...
Madeline, I haven't seen you in ages!
I know. About time we got back together. I'm telling you, after this week, I need a drink.
I'm sorry. My office is being attacked by mad women. Can I call you back? I hung up with Spinelli and walked outside to see Deborah talking with one of the buxom blondes from Jiffy Doo's. Madeline?
Oh, I remember you. You were looking for Pauline. Any luck finding her? I'm pulling my hair out, covering her shifts.
Nothing so far. But what exactly are you doing here?
I told you last week, Harry. I took this afternoon off to have coffee with a couple of friends.
Coffee? I thought we were...
Shh, we're having coffee.
Hey, before you go, mind if I ask you a question? Do you by any chance know a redhead by the name of Julia West?
Know her. She's in Jiffy Doo's once a week, making sure she keeps her hair in tip-top condition and styled right. I had to pick her up from Pauline when she came in today. Poor dear, someone cut half her hair off. You know, she and Pauline could pass for sisters if they tried.
Madeline, you just made my life a hell of a lot easier. Deborah, here's $20. Have a couple on me. And tell Glenn I say hi.
Thanks, Mr. Flynn.
I dashed to my car and... Huh. Damn door. I'm gonna kill Spinelli. After finally forcing the door open, I sped toward the west side of town. Intuition and blind luck had been serving me well today, so I figured I'd take the chance. Maybe I should try doing detective work sober more often. I decided to go to a seedy pawn shop on the west side of town that I had heard about. This was the kind of pawn shop that didn't ask questions to anyone about the merchandise they brought in, as long as it was genuine. I went up to the proprietor, a heavy-set man with a thick German accent.
Guten Tag. My name is Hans. What can I do for you today?
I was wondering whether or not there had been a woman in here as of late, pawning massive amounts of jewelry.
Hard to say. We get a lot of that here. Wait. Did she have a black bob, thin, look mighty good in a pair of lederhosen?
Yes.
I haven't seen her.
Have you seen her for $20?
No, but I have a feeling I've seen her for $50.
All right. I handed him the money. Usually I would have just staked the place out, but I wanted to solve this one in the worst way.
All right, she's sitting back right now with our jeweler. I'll go get her.
I twiddled my thumbs until they came back out together. There were two things I couldn't help noticing. One was that Madeline was right. Pauline was an exact duplicate of Julia, except for the hair. The other was that Hans was wearing, shall we say, form-fitting lederhosen. I tried to remove the image from my mind and focused on Pauline. She had a nervous look on her face, and her purse looked fit to burst with the stolen jewels. Excuse me, miss.
What do you want?
I was just interested in all that jewelry you had there. I was wondering if I could purchase some of it off you.
Sure. Come out with me to my car.
We walked out to her car, which was conveniently parked right next to mine out on the curb. It's now or never, Harry. Miss?
Yes.
Don't move.
Oh, God! You're going to rob me! Please don't rob me! These were my grandmother's jewels!
You're not a good liar, Pauline.
Wait. Pauline?
Oh, come on. There is no way. There are three women who look exactly the same in this damn city.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Just put down the gun. We can figure this out.
Get in the car. You're taking me for a drive. I kept my peace on her while she drove and helped myself to a glance through her purse. Grandmother's jewels, huh?
They're heirlooms.
Grandma must have been loaded. Head downtown. I'll give you directions once we're closer. Her purse showed up nothing but finery, and the back seat of the car was clear. But when I popped open the glove compartment, a tangled bright red mass of hair fell into my lap. Her insistence that she was innocent tapered off. Once inside, she was quick to spill everything.
Gary and I weren't going anywhere. We were supposed to have this great life together, and we just didn't. He was stuck in his little corner of hell, and I was stuck in mine. So I had to get out. I thought Julia would be the perfect frame. So I broke into her house and cut off her hair to make a wig. We look enough alike, and her hair draws attention well enough to distract from our differences.
But she was your friend. You wouldn't just let her rot in jail for you.
Once no jewelry showed up, she'd be left alone. You know that. The only people I'd have hurt were the people who I stole from, and I didn't hit anyone who couldn't afford it.
You're forgetting someone. Your husband, Gary. He was convinced you'd never sell him out. And all of this for what? Little house with a white picket fence?
Not just that. The American dream.
Hell of a dream. After making sure that everything was under wraps, I stopped by the liquor store and brought Gary the bad news and a bottle of scotch. It's no replacement for a loving wife, but maybe it'll ease the pain for a night. I didn't even have the heart to charge him. I could always make some cuts back at the office. There was one I wasn't going to make, though. I went back and left an envelope on Deborah's desk with her owed earnings and a little bit extra. Hardworking gal like that deserves a little bit of the American dream.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The White Picket Fence, was written by Mark Zurich, Lucas Tomasacci, and Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, Brandy George as Deborah, Jennifer, Julia, and Shoe Lady, Drake Nestor as Gary Fuller and Sympathetic Announcer, Mikhail Teskaya as Old Cop, Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Spinelli, Hans, and Unenthusiastic Shoe Purchaser, Elspeth Williams as Madeline, Madge, and Pauline Fuller, Mark Zurich as Jimmy the Foot and Brody. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook.